Hello, everyone. Welcome to the Arseholics on Monday Night Football. It feels like we haven't played a Monday night game in ages, but we have just been battering teams every day of the week, it feels like. And to review the latest battering, you got me, Raj, just in case you didn't recognize my voice. It's kind of nasal today because I've got a bit of a cold. I'm sorry. But you've got Myers and Aaron, and you probably just sound as lovely as they normally do. Hello, boys.
Hello, mate.
Hello.
All right. Lovely. You guys need to bring the energy because I'm like Panadol'd up right now.
We'll get into it, mate.
Yeah. There's nothing like a comprehensive win to ease away the congestion, as they say.
Aaron and mate, you've been away. Your hair looks different. Have you gone for like a Singaporean trim or something?
This is a jet lag and the headphones that are messing up my hair. I haven't got a Singaporean trim, no. I don't know what that is, but it doesn't sound fun.
The humidity in Singapore that usually does like stuff. I mean, I don't have enough hair to like, you know, but I think people...
It does. I pretty much wore a hat mostly whilst I was there. But no, I think... my body clock still hasn't recovered. I think I'm still very much jet lagged. So we're all a bit under there. Not at our best. Well, Myers is fine, probably.
Myers, right? Well, Myers is going to carry the side today.
Yeah.
I'm all right.
Let's do it. Branded clothing, I see.
I wear this t-shirt all the time. It's our one piece of merch.
Nice.
One item. It's, yeah.
It'd be like one of those. Yeah. It'd be like the kind of Supreme thing, right? Like, just don't make any more. And the value will just be the fact there's just one and just sell that one when we can't afford to pay for the StreamYard subscription and all that kind of stuff anymore. Just sell the one t-shirt. I can also, sorry?
Plus I've worn it as well. So, the value has just gone up.
Holy shit.
A match worn shirt.
There's been a pretty fun time for the Arseholics, not just because, Arsenal just keep winning games, but we didn't record after the Newcastle game. And but we had a really fun time for the Newcastle game because we were invited by Arsenal to be on the Breakdown show, which was incredibly, incredibly cool. Whilst I blow my nose, do you guys want to talk about how cool that was?
Yeah, no, that was very cool. So for those of you who haven't been following us on social media, please do, but we had a very, very cool experience, and thank you to everyone at Arsenal involved in getting us on the show. So we were invited on just before the Newcastle game to join some other guests and some guys from the club to jump on the Breakdown live show, which, if, for those of you who don't know, is the official club pre-match stream, both before the game at halftime and full-time. And it was really cool. We got to sit in the club box, which was super nice. Go on the show, share our views. We're not going to talk much about the Newcastle win today, but it was a good day. It's a great win then. And huge thanks to everyone from the club for having us on. It was a good day, Myers, right?
Yeah. It was a very different experience because obviously we're used to sitting behind the goal in the lower tier, standing the whole game. So in terms of just like, atmosphere and trying something different, it was pretty cool. Like you say, it was nice that kind of through doing the podcast, we were, I guess, recognized, and someone from the club reached out and they were keen to have us on because of our tactical, analytical, just brilliance, really. Yeah, it was nice. It was good. But I think I still prefer overall just like where we normally sit, to be honest, and just prefer the North Bank. So
yeah. The box is nice, but it is a very, very different way of watching football.
It was just like, if anyone from Arsenal's listening, like, that doesn't mean don't invite us again. Like, I feel like you two have really screwed this up for us, but yeah. I mean, it was completely different, though, as you say. But Myers, that wasn't the only time you kind of got involved with the Breakdown, because you were on a virtual Q&A a number of days later, weren't you?
Yeah, I think we impressed so much on the Breakdown that we got invited back, but I was the only one that could actually make it. to a, yeah, like a virtual Q&A, which had a number of fans from across the world, actually. Yeah, literally every part of the world, and quite a few different supporters groups were on there. It was pretty cool. It was a cool little event. It was hosted by Nicole Holiday and oh god, what's the name of the guy that hosts the breakdown?
Adrian Clark.
That's it. Thank you, Adrian. Adrian Clark. So it's hosted by them, and yeah, I actually got the chance to sort of talk a little bit, which was nice. They actually unexpectedly called on me to just talk about kind of how we're doing at the moment, a little bit about the Newcastle game. Ended up talking about Jorginho quite a bit and kind of what he's doing for us at the moment. And then, yeah, three players came on. I think they must have just finished training. And that was Smith Rowe, Jorginho and Fabio Vieira. So that was pretty cool. I didn't get a chance to ask them a question. But yeah, like I think I was saying to you guys as well, like it's quite funny because it just felt like Smith Rowe didn't want to be there. And I don't think that was the case, but I think it was just that's just how he is. Like, I think he's just quite maybe shy and reserved, but like they were asking certain questions and he was giving one word answers. So that was quite funny. But Jorginho is a good laugh, actually. He was him and the other two, like between all three of them, but he had a bit of banter and he was making a few jokes. So yeah, it was a cool little experience. Never done anything like that before. So it was nice.
Jorginho fascinates me in that way, right? Because he does come across in interviews and everything like he's just so jovial, like a really good laugh, like almost like a joker in the pack. And then you compare that to how he plays, where it's just so intelligent, measured, calculated. Like, you know, there's nothing flippant with how he plays, right? There's nothing like just kind of childish in any way. It's just like a really incredible dichotomy. And yeah, you know, he's probably loving his run in the team as well at the moment, isn't he?
Yeah, he's doing well. You can tell that he's. I mean, he just reminds me of Mikel Arteta on when he was playing, and he kind of has that. I mean, he very much plays a very similar type of game to him, the way the kind of mature playmaker, deep lying. You know, experienced head on the pitch the same way that Arteta did. And he does seem, you know, when you speak to him, see him in interviews, see him off the pitch, he does seem to be quite tactically aware. I think he's doing his coaching badges as well, right? So he's definitely a manager in the making, Jorginho. You know, never say never. Maybe he goes on the same path that Arteta does and manages Arsenal one day. But the last couple of months has just shown like the value of having an experienced player who can still just contribute in a meaningful way. Maybe not every game. Like he's not going to be Declan Rice in terms of playing week in, week out and dropping 9 out of 10 and 10 out of 10 every week. But these last couple of games, like the biggest compliment I can pay him is basically that Thomas Partey has been out for 5-6 months. No, it feels like 5-6 months, probably been less than that. But we honestly haven't really missed him. And a lot of that is, you know, obviously because of Declan Rice, but a huge part of that is because of Jorginho as well. And the way he's come in and just stepped up and contributing at a really solid level, been very, very impressed by Jorginho.
Amazing, isn't it? How sometimes, I think we touched upon this a couple of episodes ago, maybe even just the last episode that we recorded, where when you have injuries like this, it can just happen in such a way where you just stumble across something that works and you're forced to basically stick with that formula. You can't really experiment that much. But through doing that, that formula just gets refined so much. And I wonder whether we are just experiencing maybe the fortunate upside of having combinations have just become so familiar because, you know, I mean, today it's somewhat hard to judge because it's Sheffield United and Sheffield United are so, so bad. But if you look at even the Newcastle game and this game, I think what just I found, but, you know, watching was just how almost telepathic our players are at the moment. It's telepathic at pace. You've basically got people who are moving 3 or 4 steps ahead, right? Like there's passes being made, there's combinations being made, and someone is running into a bit of space that's they're only going to be utilizing in three passes time, because it just feels like they're so connected. And I remember noticing it when we were playing Newcastle and just really feeling for Newcastle, because you're just getting dragged around like dolls all over the pitch. And the moment it felt that suddenly they get close, suddenly it goes to the other end of the pitch, and it's just a nightmare. I mean, Myles, do you think on that basis, you know, today we had a lot of fortune being able to bring on so many players for their first kind of game back in a while after injury. But do you think Arteta is probably looking at that also going, God, I'm not sure any of these guys get in the team?
No, I don't think so. No, I know that was a bit of a tongue-in-cheek question. Not really, to be honest. I think we've seen last few games, especially kind of what the benches look like. We've had to bring quite a few of the kids, even though they've not played any minutes. They've obviously had to just fill out the squad. We've seen a lot during Arteta's kind of reign, really, where he just doesn't really trust certain players in certain moments and certain situations. And you think about, yeah, players like Eddie and Reece Nelson, they don't really get a look in. Kind of Elneny's there just as like a bit of a cheerleader more than anything else, you know, and again, a body in the squad. So I think these players coming back, I mean, it's a huge... I tweeted this a couple of days ago and I've been thinking about it quite a bit, because you just think about the quality of some of these guys coming back now, and it's a massive if, like if they can stay fit. And I know that's like, that is the big question with players like Jesus and Partey, and I guess Timber's a bit of a different one because we just don't know how he's going to be after this like massive layoff, Zinchenko. But if these guys, or at least the majority of these guys, can, I guess, contribute in the next kind of 10, 11, 12 games and kind of whatever we've got left in the Champions League, it could be the difference between, yeah, going far in the Champions League and not. It could be the difference in certain games when it comes to the title and what we might be able to do. So, no, I think Arteta's probably, well, more than anything, just probably relieved, because I think we've been on... It feels like as Arsenal fans, and you guys would probably agree, like we've been unfortunate with certain injuries, right? And certain players. And it's been quite frustrating when you think about like Jesus, again, like can't rely on him this season. Tomiyasu, can't rely on him. But equally, we've been pretty lucky when you think that Saka's been fit all season, Erdogan's been fit all season, Saliba, Rice, you know, and obviously knock on wood that doesn't change between now and May. But, you know, that's kind of like the core of our team, pretty much, has been fit all season. And so, yeah, I think, you know, it just helped. Hopefully I'm sure Arteta's looking at it as squad's a bit more bolstered, gives us a few more options. Doesn't necessarily mean we need to change anything drastically. But, you know, if you can, like, you're talking about Jorginho as well. And I think we said this about in the Newcastle game, like, you see what him being in the team just allows Declan Rice to go and do. And you saw it, especially in the first half today, like he's basically playing that left eight role so well. And obviously wasn't doing that earlier in the season as much, because there was always a player ahead of him. He was like the deepest lying midfielder. But now with Partey coming back as well, if you've got the option of Partey or Jorginho and it allows Rice to play that position, you know, you saw some of the combinations he's making with Kvyat and Martinelli, and he's making the runs in behind. He's the guy that's getting to the byline and pulling it back, basically doing a lot of what Xhaka was doing last season. And he's now getting goals as well. Yeah, it's just really, really exciting to see. So I know that's not like a direct answer to your question, but I think overall, like, no manager is going to be unhappy with options and top class quality options. I think it's just a question of, you know, can they stay fit and help us in the back end of the season?
Just to go back to your point there, Myles, I mean, do you think any of those guys that came on today get in our starting 11, like if they're fully fit?
Yeah.
Right. I know like there'll be different players, but I don't know if they do. I genuinely don't know if Jesus gets back in as a centre forward, because I think Havertz has been brilliant as a centre forward. And, you know, the only thing I've learned is, like, I don't think Havertz is a number eight. I just do not think that guy is used well at number eight. And you play him as a centre forward and he's just a completely different player. Like, I know he's not a centre forward in the traditional way. He's not a finisher. He's not a in the box, you know, ruthless poacher. But he just brings so much more than what he does at number eight. And and then, like you said, when we have Jorginho at the base, or like, it allows us to do a lot more with Rice as that kind of number eight. So then there will be a time where we 100% need Jesus and we need him fit and we need him scoring goals. But I really don't know how he gets back in currently. He's going to have to do a lot more and he's going to have to really get back to his best to force his way in.
I agree. I think the way that Havertz is playing at the moment, like it does feel like he's finally found his feet. And I think, you know, we've been watching him all season and there's been kind of moments and there's been a lot of kind of analysis around his performances, off the ball things and kind of, movement, creating space for players. But I guess when it comes down to it, as an attacking player, you want to see output, right? And he's now providing that in terms of goals and assists. And I think it's just confidence with him as well now. Like his finish today was a very confident finish. He didn't snatch at the chance. He didn't slice it. You know, he hit it pure right into the bottom corner. The assist for Ben White was just, I mean, I'm not like, not to kind of go on, you know, not to, I guess, exaggerate or jump the gun here, but if Dennis Bergkamp goes and does that, everyone's raving about it. Or if you talk like more modern era, if a Phil Foden or Kevin De Bruyne or a Darwin Nunez goes and does that, everyone's raving about it. And I'm talking about the, you know, the touch, first touch ball kind of coming over his head, first touch, and then the second touch and then passing it into Ben White. So I agree anyway. I don't think there's a need to change it up to fit Jesus in when Havertz is now, I think, performing that number nine role so well. I think the one player that I would probably start if he is fully fit, and I think that's a massive if, is probably Thomas Partey. Like, I think a fit Thomas Partey on his day is one of the best midfielders in the league. And we haven't seen that Partey-Rice partnership yet. And I think, you know, he can do a lot of what Jorginho does. Obviously, a very different player. But I think you then also add in the kind of athleticism, defensively, he's probably, and physically, he's stronger than Jorginho, I would say. And then you've got Jorginho for certain games as well. I think it depends on the opposition, to be honest. I really think it depends on who we're playing. I think if we're going to City away, which obviously we are in a couple of weeks, City away, I'd probably rather have Partey playing if he's fully fit. But yeah, I agree. There aren't too many other changes. I mean, yeah, how can you think about changes when we're literally winning games 5-6-0 every week at the moment?
Yeah, the one thing I will say is I'm not sure Jorginho is physically able to do like weekend midweek, like 4 or 5 weeks in a row. I think we need to manage his fitness and manage his minutes. And actually, right now, that's the same as Thomas Partey, right? He's certainly not going to be able to do that. And look, I don't think either of those guys are the future of Arsenal. And, you know, certainly I'll be very surprised if both of them are here next season. But yeah, I think if we rotate them, it hopefully means that, you know, they're both available when needed. Because like you, I know, whilst I do really like Rice as a six, I don't really think we've figured out that left eight or second midfielder slot properly. Like Havertz, for me, isn't able to do that. Like we just get so much more with Havertz as a centre forward. And Trossard, again, doesn't really look at his best there. Like all these players can do a job. But certainly with the pressing, the aggression that you get with Declan Rice in that slot, rushing into defenders, I really, really like. And I think it just unlocks so much. But the good thing is we have options, right? We can put Havertz there and then play Jesus up front if we need to. We can put Rice there. We can even play all three of Jorginho, Rice, and have Jorginho, Odegaard, and Rice if we need to. So it's exciting. Like we just need to keep them fit. And then I fully trust Arteta to just play the right team for the right situation.
Just to add to that as well with Rice, like him in this left eight role, like when I compare it to Granit Xhaka, and it was kind of like we couldn't find the replacement. Like up until probably quite recently, it felt like we just hadn't found the right balance of player to play that position. And I guess as fans, we're probably just comparing, you know, what did we have last season? What have we lost out on now that Xhaka's gone? And obviously Xhaka had the season of his life last season. But I think with Rice, with the freedom that he has in that position, he's obviously excelling in that role because he's just such a good player. But the thing that I like about him in that role compared to, say, Xhaka, is he's able to, if we need it, so if we need another kind of defensive midfielder in certain situations, he's able to get back in. He's so athletic. He's up and down the pitch. You know, he's probably the closest thing to, say, Steven Gerrard, for example, if you go back like 10, 15 years in terms of a box-to-box type midfielder. And I feel like he can, he's got it in him to, when we need to kind of sit in, and I'm thinking again in some of these bigger games, Spurs away, City away, he could probably play that left eight role. But then when we don't have the ball, I don't think we're exposed. Whereas when we had Xhaka in that position and we lose the ball high up, Xhaka's not getting back. So I think that's a huge difference. And I think that might be something that Arteta looks at and thinks, well, maybe I can, yeah, that's maybe why Rice in that position might work with, like I said, Havertz kind of firing at the moment and it working with him up front. So yeah, it's just going to be really interesting to see, man, because having those options is what we need. And hopefully we've got lots more games to come with the Champions League as well, fingers crossed. So I can imagine we're going to have to rely on quite a few of these guys over the next couple of months.
It's also tough to know how much any individual player's success is down to them and how they're doing versus, you know, the kind of collective, because there's so much that's kind of going on with this Arsenal team. You know, so many people contributing in different ways, where some of the things, and I'll kind of go on to an example, but, you know, some of the things are, they might not necessarily be obvious to see. They're just things that kind of we don't necessarily even really appreciate. And I kind of going to this article that was in The Athletic, I think today it was published. I don't know if you guys saw it. It was about David Raya. And it was basically about how, you know, Mikel Arteta made a comment a couple of weeks ago where he basically was praising Raya and he was just saying, you know, there's so much that he prevents that people don't realize or whatever. And Art de Roche, one of the journalists for The Athletic, asked him the other day in an interview as a follow-up. He goes, oh, you know, you mentioned that David Raya does all these things that no one really realizes, and, you know, he stops all this danger. Can you give us examples? And Arteta said words to the effect of, I'm not going to tell you, you go do your own research, in a nice way, in a jokey way. And he did. And so he went and did his kind of research and he wrote an article. And it was just so interesting because, you know, some of the things that he was able to sort of ascertain were, some of them seemed like relatively obvious ones, which were like very stats driven. So, for example, he was sort of saying David Raya's kind of catching, his catching percentage, if you like, is fundamentally higher than any other goalkeeper in the Premier League. Like, he's comfortably the best aerial goalkeeper in the Premier League statistically. And that has to add something that, you know, that gives you a certain amount of quality. So it's things like that, which is somewhat obvious. But other ones, which were quite interesting, which is probably more about what Arteta was talking about, was it was looking at David Raya's starting positions, you know, in different phases of play. I was basically saying that if you look at some of the goals that have been conceded, which people have pointed to Raya and said, oh, you know, your positioning's been suspect. Like, for example, the Chelsea goal against Mudrik. And even more recently, the goal that we conceded against Porto, where people were sort of saying, oh, you know, actually, you know, could he have been positioned better and whatever. The analysis that they were showing is essentially what we probably don't realize are the amount of goals or dangerous opportunities completely prevented by those positions that he takes up. So, but the stats will never show, you'll never really know that. Do you know what I mean? You'll never really be able to almost prove that, you know, you know, unless you really, really kind of deep dive with the analysis. But those sorts of things, I wonder how much that goes on when you even look at all our other players and little things that they do, little positions they take up, little habits that they do that are bringing like the ability for other players in other areas of the pitch to just do so much. Like even with Declan Rice, all his natural ability, he's able to bring out in all these different glorious ways. He's just so, so given, like you said, Miles, I think Steven Gerrard's a really good example. But he's almost able to have that kind of freedom because everyone else, they're all doing their bits, right? They're all making sure that, you know, they're kind of following the MO. So I find that quite like challenging to analyze Arsenal, but also just really awesome because it's just, you know, just this kind of incredibly well-oiled machine, you know?
Yeah, I agree. I think one of the great examples of that is Odegaard with his running and his just constant pressing. Again, if you watch, a 5-10 minute highlight of this match and you go on YouTube and watch the 6-0, they'll show you the 6 goals. And yeah, obviously Odegaard got a goal and got the opening goal. But what they don't show you is just how much he harasses their centre backs and their midfielders, and how the minute any one of them gets on the ball, either it's Odegaard or it's Rice or it's Havertz or it's Saka or it's Martinelli, just running up to them, not giving them a minute. And, you know, yeah, you might see the one or two times we win the ball and we get the ball and then we go and do something. But what you don't realise is, you know, if you're a defender and that's constantly happening to you, you eventually just make a mistake. But the only way you make that mistake is by them going up to you 9 or 10 times. And it's all of these little things that consistently build up. And I feel like in the first half of the season, our press just didn't look right, or we weren't really doing it that effectively. And I'm not sure why, but certainly in the second half of the season, post Dubai, the pressing just looks a lot more natural. It looks a lot more balanced. It looks a lot more accomplished. And what we're seeing then is the results of all of that coming together. But like you said, that's just one thing, right? All of these things, these little things, the positioning of the goalkeeper, positioning the centre back. I saw a stat today that I think Saliba made something like 160 passes today, and Sheffield United as a whole made something like 150. And it's all of these things that are really just coming together to make a team that's just really, really fun to watch right now. It's incredible.
It totally is. But you know, I think if I'm hearing you correctly, you almost feel like that in the first half of the season, a lot of these things weren't being done very well. But you know, in reality, it was only a very brief period towards the back end of the first half of the season where results started waning. So are you commenting on just that kind of period, or do you genuinely think?
I think in the first half of the season, we didn't look, we were getting results, we were getting wins, but we didn't look right. And I think we always said it, right? We were like, maybe we're doing a Man City where at some point this whole thing will just click, like Havertz will click, the midfield will click, the balance of what we're doing up front will click, and it will all come together. And then, but we were still winning, right? So we were happy. And I think the only thing that really stopped was West Ham, Villa, Fulham. Those games, we just didn't take it. Like, Fulham's different, but I think the Villa and West Ham games, we did enough. We were doing more of that, right? We were doing enough, and we just didn't take our chances. We missed a few chances. And there were signs it was coming together, but it didn't really click. And I just think after the break, I think with Odegaard especially, he is the one that I think has been our most improved player over the last 2 months. With him and Ben White to a certain extent, I think those two and that right side certainly just looks a lot more. It just looks better. It just looks better in every single way. Defensively, looks better. Going forward, it looks better. And you know, I'm sure a tactical expert will say about, you know, what's been tweaked, what's not been tweaked. And I think there are some tactical tweaks, but also just the fact that some of these players weren't playing so well last time in the first half of the season, they're just playing a lot better now.
Yeah, fair dues. Myers, like, you know, when it's a bit weird, isn't it, when you think that we scored the most amount of goals in the league, we conceded the fewest amount of goals in the league, and we're in third place. It's really strange, isn't it? Like, you know, just like that. I mean, the pundits recently, I think Gary Neville said it and Jamie Carragher sort of said it, sort of like leapfrogged it as well. Sort of put it quite nicely in some ways, where you look at the title race at the moment and the three teams, and they've all got something kind of very, very kind of specifically different that is their X factor, if you like. And, you know, City have got the experience, that kind of overall kind of squad kind of quality and the know-how. Liverpool have basically got the vibes, the kind of Jurgen Klopp last dance thing, just the kind of like the energy, whatever it is, the belief, you know, whatever you want to call it. And Arsenal genuinely probably are playing the best out of you know, everyone, we're probably, you know, right now the best side in terms of performance levels. So you have these three different like X factors, if you like, so closely, you know, together in the table. And after this weekend of sort of, I suppose, seeing exactly those things, all those three things come about, if you know what I mean, you know, City using their experience and kind of like just like overall nous and power, Liverpool using their kind of like vibes and just spirit, and Arsenal kind of just doing what they did against last night. Do you have any, do you feel like you can see how the rest of this story goes for the rest of the season? Is it, can you call it either way, or do you think this is going to be a title race that goes to the wire?
Oh, what a question. I mean, I feel like if I'm going through the teams individually, right, I would say with City, it's very hard to look at them and see much in terms of weaknesses. I think they've had their kind of injury, it's not a crisis, but you know, they had their injuries. De Bruyne was out, Haaland was out, they're both back now, Foden's firing, you know, Rodri's fit. Like, I think all their key players pretty much are available, and they're doing what City do pretty much. So I think with them, I expect them to be very, very consistent between now and the end of the season. I was just having a look at their results, and they haven't lost a game in any competition since Villa on the 6th of December. So, you know, it's going to be very, very interesting to see if they drop any points at all. And I think if they probably, you know, if they keep up this form, for me, they're still the favourites. I think with Liverpool's probably the most interesting one, because like you say, Raj, there's this kind of whole, yeah, narrative now with what's happening with Klopp. But what's also interesting is they've already got a trophy in the bag. And I think if you're Jurgen Klopp and you go and win, let's say they go and win the FA Cup and the Europa League, and they do a treble of sorts, like a cup treble, that's still pretty amazing. And I think considering the injuries that they do have at the moment, if they did fall, not so much fall away, but if they ended up not winning the league because, say, City go and win it, I think if they win a couple of other trophies, a couple of cup competitions, which I can see them doing, I would say that's a pretty good send-off and still a pretty successful season. I think they do genuinely have, and they have had some pretty, not so much bad injuries, but they've coped pretty well without some key players. You think that Trent's been out and Salah's been out quite a bit. That's quite a lot. That's quite a lot, considering how key both of those players are for them. So, and I think with us, the way it's going at the moment, it doesn't, like, you struggle to see, like, you look at our games and, yeah, we've got some tough away games, but the only game that on paper actually looks like we might drop points in is City away. Like, even Spurs away, United away, I'm not fearful of those games. I'm genuinely not fearful. But obviously, it's not going to work like that, right? So I think the thing I'm seeing from this team this season compared to last season is there is 100% a level of maturity and a level of, like, it feels like they've learned a lot from last season. Because even today, like, we scored very early on. We scored again. And you could see it every time we scored. There was no overreaction to us scoring a goal. Even when we got the fifth, there was no overreaction to it. It was okay, we celebrate as a team, get back into our half, and we go again. And then we won the ball back, and we were basically on them with the intent of getting a sixth, getting a seventh. Like, there was no let up, there was no slip, there was no drop in level, basically, or in levels. And I think, I'm not saying that necessarily happened last season, but there were obviously moments last season where we maybe just took our eye off the ball a little bit, 2-0 up at Anfield, 2-1 up at West Ham when Saka misses the penalty. There were certain moments, you know, Southampton at home conceding really early on, those sorts of moments in the season that obviously cost us, right? And I feel like Arteta's just absolutely determined that doesn't happen this season. And if we don't win the league, it won't be because of that. It will probably be because either Liverpool or City are just better than us. And that can happen. Like we're seeing now, like you just said, like, you know, we're third in the league despite having the best goal difference and you know, how good we've been, we're still only third. So, I mean, look, mate, I have, no one knows, obviously none of us know what's going to happen. If I were to put money on it, I would say it goes, I think Arsenal will be there. Because I think
unless there's like a couple of really bad injuries, I can't see our performance levels dropping. When I say performance levels, I guess I feel like we're so dominant in matches now. I think for the majority of the games we've got left, I expect us to go and dominate those games. And I think that probably means that we get the 3 points, but equally every single game, things can happen, you know, a dodgy decision, a red card, whatever. And so you just don't know. But I think, yeah, if I was to put money on it, I'd say it goes maybe not to the final game, but it goes pretty far in, you know, let's say last couple of games of the season. I'd still probably say City win it, just because of everything I said before, and it's City at the end of the day, and they've been there and done it. But I don't think it would be any kind of I was going to say disappointment. Obviously, it would be disappointing, but you know, I don't think it's a failure if Arsenal don't win the league. Even if we finish third this season, mate, we could finish third on 90 something points. And we're probably on track. I don't know what we're on track for, but we're probably on track for something like 90 odd points, right? And so, yeah, I can't see, like, we obviously Liverpool got City next week, and then we've got them in a couple of weeks. And it feels like, and I think maybe one of the Sky Sports pundits said this as well, like, Liverpool need to beat City, Arsenal need to beat City to really stand a chance. And that isn't mathematically true, obviously, but it kind of does feel like that, because yeah, you can just see City really being dominant and steamrolling teams in the other games that they've got.
Yeah, from a mental perspective, you're right. Like those big kind of punches, those knockout blows, if you like, you know, not knockout, let's say knockdown blows, going to the head and trying to get and winning could be huge. And you know, Charles in the comment, you know, sadly thinking that the story is written in Liverpool's way this season. Aaron, and kind of just building on what Miser said, do you think there's something to be said for Arsenal benefiting the longer that this stays a three-horse race versus, you know, if say, hypothetically, Liverpool, let's just say, you know, were to suddenly lose a couple of games and all of a sudden it becomes a two-horse race very, very quickly. Do you think there's something to be said for, you know, the focus not being on us? Or do you think that we might, from last season, just use the experience of last season to really kind of, if we get into a two-horse race, really be the ones that push on?
I definitely think having two other teams, especially when it's like the established big two of this Premier League era, having them in front of us just helps us a bit. I just generally think us not being top is actually helping us right now, where the attention is very much on Liverpool, on City, and we're just hanging on in there. And I think, you know, we go on about the first half of the season where we didn't look right, but what we did do is we were just there, just cracking on, getting results, you know, not playing the great football, not having any kind of amazing big wins. I know there was a City win, but it was just like we just kind of just trudged along, and then, you know, it's exactly what City do. Like City just do this, where you, the first half of the season, you're like, oh, they don't look right. They don't look good. They look a bit leaky at the back. They're not scoring goals up front. And then all of a sudden, come February, come March, they go on a 8-9-10 game winning run, and they turn on the football. They start playing really good games, and they then also now match it with by doing it in Europe at the same time. So yeah, I think chasing suits us better. I do think we've learned from last season where, and even as a fan base, where last season was wild, right? We were expecting to finish being a battle for fourth, and then come February, come March, we found ourselves top of the league, and everyone was like, well, what the hell is this? Like, what do we do? And I think collectively as a fan base and as players, everyone kind of panicked a bit. There was a Saliba injury. We brought on Rob Holding, and it just all went a bit wrong very quickly. And we didn't really know how to react because, like, no one expected us to be in this situation. This season, I think it does feel a bit more mature. Like, everything just feels a bit more grown up. And we still look like a young team, but we look like a young team with just a bit more experience. We've got the likes of Declan Rice, the likes of Kai Havertz, who have been there, you know, gotten their teams over the line in various situations. So let's see. Look, whatever happens with the league, if we can continue to play like this and just challenge, you know, two of the best teams in the last decade, obviously I'll be disappointed that we didn't do anything. But if this carries on, we finish there. That's not failure, like my set, right? That is, we would have lost to two teams if we finished third or finished second. Whoever finishes above us, if we carry on playing like this, would have done an incredible, incredible job. And you just have to respect that. It'll still be annoying because we'll look back and be like, oh, what if we had beaten Fulham? What if we had beaten West Ham? But the standards, the level we're playing at, we're the best defence in the league, the best attack in the league. And if we still finish third, playing like this, doing what this, then like, I don't know what you can do. I don't know what you can be angry at, right? So let's see. But I'm optimistic, you know, like you said, let's see what happens after the Etihad, because then we would have seen what would have happened in Man City playing Liverpool. And then we would have seen what we would have done there. And I think the picture will look a lot more clearer in terms of what we have to do.
Yeah, agreed. So, I mean, a few comments coming in. I'd say a few, many all from Charles. Charles talking about the combination of kind of Declan Rice and Jorginho benefiting Declan Rice. Yeah, absolutely, Charles. We were talking about that earlier in the episode. It's definitely something that we're seeing. Just kind of looking at a couple of games coming up, right? The next two games that are coming up. We have got Brentford this coming weekend. We're actually, it's interesting the way the fixtures have worked out, because although we were the last team in the, you know, we were the last fixture of the Premier League weekend, I think we're the first fixture of the Premier League weekend next weekend, unless there's a game on Friday. Actually, no, it's not that we're the first. I think we're the first of Arsenal, City and Liverpool that are playing in the coming weekend, which is interesting. And I think hopefully I quite like that. I kind of prefer being kind of the one that plays first. Do you guys have any concerns around Brentford being a little bit of a banana skin? I mean, if we just kind of set the scene slightly, like this isn't the Brentford of last season or even the season before that, right? This is a Brentford who are doing significantly worse. They are just struggling to figure it all out. They didn't have Tony for a huge part of this season and had to navigate that, but kind of navigated that okay. And it's almost like since he's come back, they've got a little bit worse. I'm not saying that that's because of Tony, but I think, you know, whatever, generally for a number of reasons, they're not doing so good. And it's not a great time for a team that's not doing so good to come and play Arsenal, right? Arsenal in this current mood. Do you see, though, that this is a potential banana skin in any way? I mean, it was a draw last season. It was kind of the game which PJ Mull apologised for afterwards, because their Brentford's goal should not have stood, but still, it was still a draw nonetheless. Any chance you see of Arsenal dropping points on Saturday?
It's hard to say. It's hard to say that, you know, watching us at the moment, I can't see us, like I said before, I can't see us dropping points in very many games at all. But I think the main risk of it being a banana skin is probably us taking our eye off the ball, or just a bit of complacency, which again, I just don't see happening. I think Brentford are, yeah, like you said, Raj, they're a much poorer team for whatever reason. I don't watch them closely enough to know why, but they're a much poorer team this season than they have been previously. And maybe it's just the fact that they've been found out a little bit. Now they've been in the Premier League a couple of seasons, but I think they concede a shitload of goals, and I think they've conceded like 50 or so goals. I think they concede an average of 2 goals a game, or they have so far this season. So obviously they can be got at, but I think equally, they've obviously got dangerous players. I feel like in terms, I mean, look, we know that he likes Arsenal. We know that he's sort of tried to, I say hint, more than hint, that he would love to come and play for us. I don't necessarily think that move's kind of on the cards anymore, but I'm sure he'd love to prove a point. And I feel like along with him, players like Wissa, you know, they've got a few dangerous players. So I think there's a risk there that they could cause us problems. But I think equally, if we come out the blocks like we have been for the last few weeks, and I think if we yeah, just take charge of the game, especially being at home. I can't see any other result than an Arsenal win. But I think it's just on us. The onus is on us to just keep doing what we're doing, and just 100% concentration on what the job is. And the job is just 3 points. Like, I think we've seen everything now from Arsenal this season. We've seen kind of like a bit of a low period in December. We've seen periods where we haven't scored goals. We've now become extremely clinical and free flowing and everything's clicking. We've seen our defensive stability. I think it's now you're in the period of the season where all of that comes together and you just have to do it week in, week out. And especially in your home games, right? In the home games, it's like you go win those games, obviously. And there might be the odd away game where it's just not going to plan. We come out, with a tough away game, like Spurs away, for example. You come out with a draw and you take the point and you run. But these are the games that if you want to win the league, like there's nothing else. You can't come out of Saturday without anything else other than 3 points, especially knowing that one of City and Liverpool are going to drop points on Sunday. That's huge. We could be top of the league on Saturday night, Sunday morning, and potentially I think we could still be top of the league Sunday night as well. If City and Liverpool draw, do we stay top of the league? I think we do, right?
Yeah, we do, because our goal difference is now better.
Yeah, so yeah, I expect...
That's pretty compelling.
Yeah, I expect a strong... I expect to win, and I expect a very strong performance. I don't think it's going to be a 4-5-6-0. Can't keep expecting those. So I think it might be a little bit tighter. I think the main worry for me is like Tony, because he is this kind of player. Like, I feel like... I'm not saying that our defence can't deal with him, but I feel like he is a very... he's just a very dangerous attacker, and I think he's got attributes that I really like. And I think if Brentford do get like set pieces, even kind of last man, he does feel like the kind of player that, he's a bit of a... I was going to compare him to Haaland. Obviously he's not Haaland, but or kind of one-on-one, if he's playing on the last man and he gets him behind, I expect him to finish. So I just hope that, those situations don't come up. And like I said, if we're dominant from the first minute and we get a couple of early goals, then I think it's just managing the game and we go and win.
Yeah, I fully agree. I mean, Aaron, do you have anything to add to that, or can you see it in a very similar light?
I think, look, you can't not be confident after seeing what we've been doing in the league. And if it wasn't for that, that moment of madness at the end with Porto and that, I can't remember his name now, but the guy who scored that screamer, it's just very, very good, right? And I think I'm not really worried about complacency. I just wonder if the Champions League, the second leg, will be on the players' minds a bit. If it gets to if it's 0-0 after 60 minutes, 70 minutes, which for now is like recently just seems unthinkable. Like, I can't imagine watching an Arsenal game and it being 0-0 after 65 minutes. I'm just going to be like, well, what is this? Like, what is wrong with us? But
you hope that our players remember how to deal with that situation, right?
Yeah. And it's true, right? Because we've been so comfortable in these last few games that I don't know if that was a factor against Porto, but it's just... when the level goes up, and it will do against City and it will do against Porto, who I think won 5-0 at the weekend against Benfica, by the way, you do need to be ready, right? Because not everyone will defend like Sheffield United have done. And we've played some absolutely rubbish defences in the last couple of games. Like Newcastle were awful. Burnley were pretty bad. West Ham... decent defensively, and we made them look bad, but they were also just not great on their day. And we do need to probably get back to, like, because after the international break, things are going to get a bit more intense, and maybe this Brentford game is a nice step up, because their defense isn't great, but they're better than Sheffield United, put it that way. And I think even dealing with Tony, we just need to remember how to deal with like attacks that will actually give us a game, because our XG for the last defensive XG for the last like 5-6 games is something like 0.3, 0.4, and that's averaging over 6 games. And I saw a stat that both Liverpool and City, their expected goals conceded I think is closer to 1, and Liverpool's like 1.2 or 1.18, and City's was just under 1. But
is that per game?
That's over the last like 6-7 games. The average, yeah. No, sorry, the average, yeah. the average, I think, because ours is averaging something at 0.3, which is ridiculously low. So yeah, we are defending really, really well. We're just stopping the chances, but also we've been quite fortunate to come up against some quite blunt, toothless attacks. And I don't think Brentford will be that. So let's see. The good thing is, when we win, when winning so comprehensively, it just allows us to rotate a bit more. Like these last two games, I think against Newcastle, Saka came off pretty early, like 70, 75 minutes. Today, I'm assuming he wasn't injured. He just came off as a rotational issue at halftime. So it just means that we can keep our players that extra little bit fresh and ready to go. And hopefully that means that when the time comes, when we do need to go the 90 minutes and win the game, everyone has that little bit extra in the tank.
Agreed. And you know what? One of the things I was going to say that I think will work in our favour, you know, it's 5:30 on a Saturday. Everyone's going to be a bit jolly in the stadium, and that really worked to our benefit. The 8 p.m. against Newcastle, right? That the alcohol running through the veins of the North Bank and Co. I mean, it was brilliant. So, with this being said, like, I hope this stat isn't true. What Russ has just put in the comments, he's saying, "I think we've only won one out of our last 6 5:30 kickoffs." If that is true, that's suddenly a concern for me. So, thank you for putting that in my head, Russ. Because, you know, I was thinking the 5:30 thing was going to be a really good thing. So, God, I hope that's not true. But if it is, like, it's probably... Look, if it is true, and Russ, we trust you on this one, then, I mean, Arsenal in their current form is probably the best way to, you know, dispel that trend, isn't it? Just, you know, wrapping up on the comments, I guess, you know, another comment was from Charles around any update on Martinelli. Yeah, I mean, you know, just to... For those who didn't catch the game, Martinelli did go off injured, and it was quite hard to tell how injured he actually was, because he kind of went down relatively innocuously, and he didn't look like he was in that much pain. He basically just looked like he was complaining to the referee that, you know, he was kept pointing to his boot, and it looked to me like what he was doing was trying to show the referee, look, my boot's torn, I got stuck, you know, I got stepped on. Do you know that thing where you kind of try and prove that you were foul to the referee? And that's all it sort of looked like to me. He didn't look like he was in that much pain. And then obviously the physios came on and then ended up having to help him off the pitch. I mean, he literally was hopping. He couldn't put any weight on that foot at all. But again, his face didn't look like he was distressed. And usually, you know, if a player thinks it's serious at this point in the season, you know, they look really, really upset about it. And he didn't really look that upset. So, I mean, I haven't been checking social media during this episode.
Just checking. So Arteta's actually come out and said he got a cut. He's cut. Apparently it's quite positive, which I guess it's a cut. He probably couldn't carry on, but it sounds like there's no muscular damage. And no, and also just seeing that apparently he was sick at halftime. So he came
off. Oh, really?
Yeah.
Maybe he just felt really, really like ashamed of like just how... We just violated them. Do you know what I mean? He's a really nice guy. He probably just thought, oh, this is really sad. And
it's like worst timing for him to be sick, because he's my fancy football captain. So, I mean, look, he delivered.
He's a lot.
Yeah.
A bit annoying. There was more goals in that second half for him, but yeah.
There was indeed. Listen, on that, guys, why don't we wrap up? Because we are probably going to record after Brentford anyway. And then we've got the Champions League match, which comes up after that. And that's going to be incredible atmosphere that day, you'd imagine, right? Like, particularly if we beat Brentford and carry on this run. I mean, I think every Arsenal fan in the stadium will be going there with like full confidence that we can kind of get behind the team and like put in a big performance, because, you know, we absolutely have to win. You know, I mean, that's not just an exaggeration. We have to win to qualify. So,
I was just going to say, like, I mean, look, yeah, a bit early on the Porto game, but it would be a real shame, more than a shame, but it will be a real shame if this team goes out at this early on in the Champions League, because we've been saying it all season, I think, especially you, Raj, right? Like, there is something there that makes you think that we could do really well in the Champions League. If we get City in the next round, okay, fine. We're not favourites. If we get Real Madrid, we're not favourites, but... It feels like this team is I don't want to say built, but it does feel like they're kind of built for a decent Champions League run. And I think if we go out
on Tuesday week, it's not because Porto are a better side than us. Yes, okay, if they beat us over two legs, they are. But you know what I mean? Like, they're not actually a better side than us. It just means that we just, yeah, maybe not quite mature enough, or maybe just, you know, their kind of tricks and everything they did in the first leg, it pays off. And I think it will just be a big disappointment. I'm really keen to see where we could potentially go if we get past, because I think once you get to the quarterfinals, it becomes very, potentially very, very open, and you're kind of looking at the luck of the draw and what other teams do. And if other bigger teams get knocked out by other bigger teams, then, you know, it does start to open up. So yeah, like, I'm already, like, just as you started talking about it, already started to get a bit nervous thinking about that Tuesday night to Tuesday, right? And us going to the game, and obviously going there, it's going to be, I mean, yeah, if we play like how we're playing now, we probably do go and score three or four goals, and we've been stressing about nothing. But I think it's going to be a bit dramatic that night. And so,
it's a big week coming up. Huge. So, yeah, I mean, Brentford, Porto, and then Man City. Like, this is what we look forward to, right?
This is
what we want to be. We want to be, I know it's only the round of 16, the Champions League, but chance to get into the Champions League quarterfinals, chance to, like, potentially end this weekend on top of the league. Like, come on, man, this is fun. Like, this is far better.
We've been through a lot.
Yeah, it's far better this than, like, look at Man United, man. Like, I watched that game, and, like, we were obviously rooting for Man United, right? So I was like, yes, come on, Manchester United.
Manchester.
Let me try and, like,
Manchester really went for the full name, you know, really, I'll show them that respect.
Exactly. And I was like, come on, they could do this. So I was like, yeah, Bruno Fernandes, Marcus Rashford. And for the first, like, 5-10 minutes, I was like, all right, like, there could be something here. But my God, after that, that scoreline was kind to them. It could have been 5-5 or 6-1.
And I'm like, after the game, like, you know, Ten Hag's like, oh, tactically, you know, we did it. We execute a plan. It's like, you conceded 25 shots or something like this? Like,
yeah, I think XG was like 3 or 4.
Their XG was higher than ours against Sheffield United today.
Yeah, exactly.
Do you know what I mean? But that's ridiculous.
Yeah, and there's nothing there for them. And I was like, what is there to get excited about there? Like, I know they have injuries, but that, like, that is what, you know, we were at that level a little while ago. Let's be honest. And now we've got something to get excited about. And, you know, I'm sure you guys say the same. I get really, really excited about watching this team play. And regardless of whatever happens this season, like, where we end up, it's fun. And that's all that matters.
And that's a lovely way to end it. So, lads, thank you for joining me on the podcast, and really appreciate everyone's participation in the comments. And thank you for everyone who tuned in live. You can see the live viewer count at the top was, like, pretty healthy today. So, look, thank you everyone again, and we will see you after Brentford. Cool. All right. See you later, guys.
Nice one, boys.
Yeah. Bye.
See you later.